Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
Hope you've come ready to receive a blessing and to be a blessing. We're going to start with Because of Your Love. Sing it with us.
As we come into your presence, we remember every blessing that you poured out so freely from above. Lifting gratitude and praises for your passion so amazing. Lord, we come to of your love, we're forgiven. Because of your love, our hearts are clean. We lift you up with songs of freedom. Forever we're changed because of your love.
Sing it again.
As we come into your presence, we remember every blessing that you poured out so freely from above. Lifting gratitude and praises for your passion so amazing. Lord, we come to give you thanks for all you've done.
Sing it out.
Because of your love.
And now a song by a brand new duet, Bridget and Angela. This is a powerful song with a great message. It reminds us that no matter what we're going through, we're not to forget whose child we are. And we're to let our light shine no matter what. And now, Bridget and Angela.
Water's rise, but don't you ever lose your life. don't forget. One day there will be no more pain, and we will finally see Jesus' face. So until then, I'm gonna try to brave the dark.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, heard each Sunday afternoon at this time on radio station KGAF 1580 AM in Gainesville. And now a song by our own Rosie O'Toole.
You know, we have good hands to leave all this in when we leave here.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for a church like we have that doesn't limit the little or the older or the older. They just encourage.
Amen. Praise
God. Doesn't matter when you mess up. And believe me, no matter how old you get, you can mess up. But He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He loves us. And Central Baptist Church is too. They have Christ in them, that's why. If there was anything, if I left here, that if there was any possible way you could miss it, it would be Central Baptist Church. Be thankful for what we've got, but now I'm going to sing a song. And it talks about when I leave here.
Yeah.
And when I'm up there, and if it were possible, and I could look down again, it wouldn't be a thing I'd come back for. Not even Central Baptist Church. Because as much as I love you, I'm going to celebrate.
They took the John Deere tractor from the barn. There's machinery scattered all around the farm. There's a set of worn-out tires, a few old rusty pliers, just sitting on a trailer all alone. There's that table where I sat and ate my dinner. There's that old wood stove that warms me in the winter. And when they sell it off tomorrow, for me there'll be no sorrow. I've left it all and I turned out the winner. I'm gonna celebrate while they tell my story. While they sell my state in heaven, I don't need it anymore. Now this is my verse. That refrigerator never was that good. and that computer, I just never understood. When I think of all my past and where I am at last, I wouldn't even go back if I could. I'm gonna celebrate while they sell my state in heaven. I don't need it anymore. While they're trying to decide what to divide, I'll be shouting from his heavenly shore. Oh, they can have it all, and I'll have a ball, just shouting praises to my Lord. I'm gonna celebrate while they sell my state in heaven. I don't need it anymore. I'm gonna celebrate while they sell my state. While they're trying to decide what to divide, I'll be shouting from his heavenly shore. Oh, they can have it all, and I'll have a ball, just shouting praises to my Lord. I'm gonna celebrate while they sell my state in heaven. I don't need it anymore. In heaven, I don't need anymore. Lord, in heaven, I don't need it anymore.
Thank you, Sister Rosie. Always a blessing. And I love that song, the energy and the joy that is in that song. Just thinking about being in the presence of the Lord in heaven, what joy it brings to the heart of the child of God. Well, I'm going to step out just for a moment and just visit with my radio audience. We're so glad you've tuned in today. You are listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. And I'm going to step back in, let you begin to hear a little singing in the background as they're coming to the close of the last song here on the broadcast before we bring a message from the Word of God. One thing you will find about Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, you hear all styles of music, a wide range of music. We believe the Lord is pleased with that. Everything from praise music, certainly to the old hymns and special music, even from all ages, as you've heard today on the broadcast. And we're excited about what God is doing at Central Baptist Church. Just this last Sunday, 3 more were baptized, and we just regularly see folks being saved and coming to know Christ as Savior and following Him in baptism and growing in grace. And what a joy that is to a pastor's heart. And we'd like to invite you. We're located at 306 South Union Street in the city of Whitesboro. We'd like to invite you to come and worship with us sometime. And now we'll finish up this song and then go into a message from the Word of God. Pastor's going to talk about clothes. Now, let me say that it probably won't be what you think it is going to be. But the Bible has a lot to say about clothes. If you did a wild card search in a computer Bible program and you put an asterisk and then you put C-L-O-T-H and an asterisk at the end, imposing a double wild card on it, you would pull up 259 verses in the Bible that have something to do with the word clothes. There would be other synonymous words that would add other verses as well. Have you ever wondered who the first woman was to say, "I don't have a thing to wear"?
Well, it probably was Eve, and she was telling the truth. You may remember that she tried a fig leaf boutique, but that was not acceptable to God. In Genesis 3:21, the Bible says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothed them." And so God put clothes on Adam and Eve. Now, there's a sense in which we're to dress for the occasion. And in thinking through the Bible of the various ways the believer is dressed or pictured at times, the Bible pictures Christians in many ways, and I'll only use a few today. But the Bible pictures Christians as sons and daughters of God. It pictures us as sons. It pictures us as soldiers in a war. It pictures us as servants. And certainly we're to wear all of those hats, and all of those outfits metaphorically are in the Christian closet. Now we're going to take a look at some things we're to wear and some things we're not to wear spiritually and metaphorically. Number one, as sons of God, we're going to use sons, soldiers, and servants. As sons of God, we are not to wear arrogance. You're not to be proud. In fact, in 1 Peter 5:5, it says, "Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, older and younger, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility." Now, there's the expression, be clothed with humility. I don't care what you're wearing, if you're not clothed with humility, you're not well-dressed before God. As sons, we're not to wear arrogance, we're to be clothed with humility. As soldiers, we're to wear armor. The Bible says in Romans 13:12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." An interesting expression. Let us put on the armor of light. We are children of light. And light is an armor. Light repels darkness. When darkness tries to come in, light becomes a shield or an armor that actually turns the darkness away. In Ephesians 6:11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." 6:13, "Take to you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." So as soldiers, we're to wear armor. Now, as servants, and I only have the three, actually a fourth, but the three that I'm emphasizing, as servants, it's about attitude more than about attire. Permit me this hour to show you what has to be one of the strangest truths in the Bible. It's an amazing verse. It's in Luke 12:37. "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Now, this is talking about the second coming of the Lord. His first coming, he came in a cradle and went to a cross, died for our sins. But the second time, he's coming with many crowns, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when he comes this time, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you," now look at this, "that he shall gird himself." That's interesting language. "And make them to sit down at meat, and will come forth and serve them." And will come forth and serve them. Now, we all think of the gathering, the rapture, the marriage supper, the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We know it's a great banquet. It's a great supper. It's supper time. And we're called to the supper table of the Lord. But what many fail to see, we think of him as being at the head of the table, and we think of angels maybe as doing the serving. But according to this verse, the Lord himself will be doing the serving at the marriage supper of the Lamb. If you could picture it as row after row, millions and billions and long tables and sumptuous feasts, and yet the Lord will get around to every single table. Only he could do it. He's God. And to every single person. And the Bible says he will gird himself and he will come forth and serve us that meal. That marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride of Christ. And it is the picture of the groom coming and tending to the bride and seeing that she is cared for. That is the picture the Bible gives us of our Lord at the second coming when we go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, that He'll gird Himself and He will come forth, and the Bible says He will serve us. Now, He demonstrated this when He was on earth. I said I'm talking about how we're girded, how we're clothed. As servants, it's about attitude more than attire. When Jesus was on earth at the Last Supper in John 13, verse 1, now, before the Feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of the world unto the Father, in other words, He's going to die, He's going to go to the cross, He knew the hour had come. Having loved His own, which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And that's who He is. If He ever loved you, He loved you to the end. And it says, and supper being ended, verse 3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things unto His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He knew that. He knew who He was. He was the Son of God. He knew He'd come down from heaven. He knew now He's going back to heaven. And what does He do? Verse 4 says, He riseth from supper and laid aside His garments. Now, I want you to understand, in the Bible, they wore an outer garment and they wore an inner garment. And the inner garment was much more modest than anything people wear today. I don't want you to get the idea that Jesus was running around there stripped naked. He was not. He took off His outer garment, much like Peter took off when he dived into the sea. He still had something on. The Bible speaks of an outer garment. Now, notice this. Notice this. He took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Now, the imagery here, to my mind, is like an apron. The towel that He wrapped around Himself and tied in the back was like a free hanging apron. It was not wrapped around Him like a sarong, a cloth around the waist, such as in Malaysia, Indonesia, the Pacific Islands that we see yet today, where men and women both wear sarong. Somebody might get that image as though it was some kind of skirt that He did to cover Himself. Oh, no. No, it was a free-hanging cloth where He could use it like a towel, like an apron to wash and to wipe their feet. It was used by a servant in the performing of their duties. Now, can you imagine? They're sitting there. Jesus gets up and reaches over and He gets a towel and they say, what is He doing? And He ties it around His back, much like you would tie an apron. And then He begins to serve them. How is a servant dressed? It's more about attitude than it is about attire. Somebody said the problem with the modern day church is we've replaced the apron with the bib. The average Christian today is not wearing an apron ready to serve, but rather a bib waiting to be served. Church is not about a bib mentality. Church is about an apron mentality. Saying, I will serve. I am here to serve. How can I serve? What can I do, Lord, to please You? It's not about entertainment. It's about evangelism. It's about getting another soul saved. It's not about making people comfortable on their way to hell. It's about converting them and getting them to know Christ so they can go to heaven. You see, I want you to think about it. What a wonderful place any place would be. All the church trouble we have, every single bit of it comes from somebody who's got a bib on. People who have aprons on don't cause problems. They're too busy trying to serve others and be a blessing. But when you have a bib on, you're concerned, you're offended, you haven't been properly cared for. You're a baby. Babies wear bibs. It's time you grew up and got the bib off. And when you're first saved, we're glad to put a bib on you, and we understand that you're a baby. But there comes a day when you need to grow up and get rid of that bib and become an apron Christian. You know, what a wonderful place any place would be if everyone had an apron on instead of a bib. Many homes, the problems you have is somebody every day puts their bib on and walks around waiting to be served. What a wonderful home it would be if everybody in the home had an apron on. how can I serve? You understand the pastor speaks in a metaphor. Well, let me go on. So far we've seen as sons, we're not to wear arrogance. As soldiers, we're not to wear we are to wear armor. As servants, it's about attitude. For my last point, and would you indulge me a moment, I need to set it up a little before I present it. I'm going to set up a gestalt by using some seemingly disjointed questions. Have you ever thought about how many different pieces of clothing that you will have in your entire lifetime? Have you ever thought about that? Let's go all the way back with that point in your existence before you even cared what you had on, or even if you had anything on, you didn't care. When you were a baby, somebody had to dress you and clothe you. I'm going to say something that's not pleasant to think of, but another time is coming for everyone here, when a time when someone else will clothe you. Someday there will come a time when your burial clothes will be hanging somewhere on this earth. A clothing manufacturer may be manufacturing them even now as I speak. Or they could be already hanging in your closet. You just don't know it yet. Or they could be hanging in a store this very day where your family will go and purchase them after your unplanned demise, which could happen this week. And they will dress you in the final clothes you will wear. Those will be your burial clothes. The big question will not be, what will your body be wearing at your burial? The big question is, what will your spirit be wearing when you stand before God? Will you be clothed in a robe of righteousness? Do you already have it on you right now? In Isaiah 61:10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. It's one size fits all. And I'm telling you that if you'll come to Him and just say, Lord, I don't have a thing to wear, and He'll clothe you in a robe of righteousness, you'll be well dressed in the eyes of God.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.